have the Curtis family in service with us this morning. We love and appreciate them so very much. And, you know, I'm thankful they're moving closer. You know, they're from Montana. They're headed back to Montana right now, but they are moving towards Arkansas. And that's kind of their home place. And so we're thankful that the Lord's helping them, strengthening them. And praise God. Praise the Lord. How many love the Lord this morning? All right. Sounds like a majority to me. All right, Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 28 and 29 for our opening text this morning. It always amazes me how much is in just small portions of Scripture pertaining to our Christianity and pertaining to what God has done for us and what He wants to do for us. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, it says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." Hallelujah. That means it's eternal. It's going to last forever. Nobody's going to conquer it. Nobody's going to overcome it. It cannot be moved. "Let us have grace," which God so liberally supplies, "whereby," so in other words, this vast supply, this kingdom that cannot be moved, and this vast supply of grace is "whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." You may be seated. Now, notice verse 29 didn't say, "For our God is love." For God is love. But it says, "Our God is a consuming fire." So that gives us the reality of what the previous statement was, is that the very fact of what God has supplied us with, there is no reason in the whole wide world where we should be consumed by His fire. Has God supplied everything you need? Do we live that way? Praise God. "That we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Hallelujah. I want to preach this morning. This is something the wife and I were discussing earlier this week, talking about how the society and the world is really in so great need, and as it was brought out even in Sister Lindsay's Sunday school class, the children's class this morning, the problem in the day of Noah was sin. I'm giving you a test if you didn't catch that, and I must have went over some of your heads, but I'm sorry. Okay, and so the problem in Noah's day was, and the problem today is, we're still having the same problem that they had in the days of Noah. We're still having that same problem, that nailed Jesus Christ to an old rugged cross, that problem of sin. But there is an antidote. There is a remedy. There is something God's provided. We've sung about it already here this morning about that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's power in the blood. And then we've sung about the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's keeping me alive. And it's living inside of me. And so, you know, these things that God has given us, whereby we can serve Him, and whereby we can honor Him and glorify Him, you know, these are the things God has brought forth so that you and I could have the remedy for the sin problem. But here's the complication of the problem. Do men and women just seek relief, or do they seek righteousness? And I want to preach this morning on relief or righteousness. Relief or righteousness. Now, as John the Baptist began to preach in the wilderness. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, this is what he preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I'm going to try to expedite this. There's so much I could share through these portions of Scripture. As you well know, I can expound upon one portion of Scripture for hours. And so we're not going to do that this morning. We're going to try to move through these. But I want to bring your attention to that word repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I want to give you the Greek word, and I'm not really going to try to teach you Greek here. But the Greek word means to think differently. Oh, how many can change your mind real easy? Okay, I'm sorry, I shouldn't ask that. To think differently or to think afterwards, to reconsider, whether morally, to feel compunction. I gotta ask this. Does anybody in here know what the word compunction means? Compunction, what I looked up for the definition of compunction, is to feel guilt. You know, like when you do something wrong and automatically, oh, yeah, that's compunction. So the word repent means to think differently, to think afterwards, and so that would be if you did something wrong, or to think differently when, like John's preaching repentance, and then he also began to teach to them what they needed to repent of when they came and said, well, what do we need to do? And he told the soldiers, well, you need to be content with your wages. And then, you know, he gave insight into righteousness. And so you're going to realize and understand by the time I'm done this morning that repentance and righteousness go hand in hand. Because repentance is me changing my mind about how I'm living my life, changing my mind to the point I'm going to live my life differently. Repent of unrighteousness so that you might walk in righteousness. And so here we're dealing with repentance, and so we're going to go through a few scriptures here. John, still preaching, Matthew 3, verse number 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Here's what he said to them. Verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Basically what he said is, show me where you've repented. You've come down to see the show. You've come down to see what everybody else is doing. You've come down in a self-righteous spirit thinking, and let me read on. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. But now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Oh, what do we read about God? God is a consuming fire. And what did John preach? John preached that if there is not righteous, good fruit is righteousness. And so God's coming on the scene. We've got to realize 400 years of silence is being broken. There is now open vision because John is preaching. Jesus is fixing to preach here just a little bit later. You know, just the next chapter, actually. Praise God. Because John came preaching repentance. You know what Jesus came preaching? Repentance. Change your mind about your conduct. Change your mind about your lifestyle. Change your mind about who this man Jesus is. Change your mind. Hallelujah. Think differently. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Have you ever heard anybody say, when you're kind of on the verge of being mad, or you are mad, and they say, you know, you can get glad in the same shoes you got mad in. because you're in control of it. Well, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I don't know. Woo! I mean, we should not be in control of anger. Anger should not be a controlling factor. Anger comes upon us. It is a real emotion. Hallelujah. And there's different things that provoke anger for every individual. There's certain keynotes, so to speak, buttons to push, you know, that provoke somebody to anger. And we don't want to go about provoking people to anger. Actually, the Bible says we're supposed to go provoking in love, provoking them to love. Amen. And so we see, but anger's real. And so we see then the reality of preaching repentance means I've got to change my mind about certain things of my life. And when you set your mind to something, how many set your mind to do something? And it usually gets done, doesn't it? But if you don't set your mind to it, you'll just kind of hem-haw around, drag your feet around, maybe, you know, do a little bit about it, and nothing avails. But when you set your mind to it, it'll happen. It just will. That's what repentance is all about, setting your mind towards righteousness, setting your mind against unrighteousness. So when God comes and visits us with His grace, He is going to bring us to a place of repentance in every church service. Did you hear that? In every church service, He's going to bring us to a place of repentance so He can bring us to a place of joy. Hallelujah. Because you can't have joy if you're not serving the Lord. There is no joy in disobedience. There is only joy in obedience as the Spirit of God begins to renew my mind. How I think about a certain situation. How I think about a certain circumstance. How I think even sometimes about God's Word. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because sometimes we don't get it quite right. And God brings about a message in tongues and interpretation, or God brings about a song, or God brings about a preaching message to renew our minds and set our minds straight on His Word. Hallelujah. And what He expects from us. And so we see here that even John the Baptist expected fruits of repentance. And John the Baptist let the Pharisees and the Sadducees know that without that fruit of repentance, there was going to be a reckoning day and a judgment day with God. And so we see then in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus came preaching repentance. Now, I mean, you know, don't do it right now, but you can go read Matthew chapter 5. And He gave everybody a boatload. I mean, literally a boatload, because He was out in a boat. Different times teaching. This time He was up on a mountain. But He gave them a boatload of the Beatitudes. Of what's right and how you're supposed to live your life. What was He doing? He was preaching repentance. So you don't know how to do right unless you've been shown how to do right. How many's ever taught a child how to cry? How many in here has ever taught a child how to throw a fit? Well, I'm talking about from the time they're born, they already know how to do that. What do you have to do with a child? You have to train them the right ways to behave. You can't complain about children's behavior if you're not training them right. Hello? There's nobody to blame but you. If you're the parent, it's your duty to train your children in the ways of God. The right ways of God. Whoa, wow. Mm-hmm. You've got to teach them repentance. Yeah, teach them repentance. How do you teach a child repentance? I'll just give you a simple illustration. If it's wrong to scream, then you discipline them for screaming. And when they scream again, you discipline them again. And when they scream again, you discipline them again. And if they scream 1,000 times in a day, you discipline them 1,000 times in one day. Or they're never going to learn to repent. Because repent means change your mind. And if you can't teach your children to repent when they get old, they won't. This is why the scripture says, and when they get older, they will not depart from God. Why? Because you taught them repentance. Yeah. You taught them the price of disobedience. Like I said, if they do it 1,000 times in one day, you got to teach them 1,000 times in one day. There was a lot of times where I was in the bedroom of my children quite often in one day. Quite often in one day. But usually it only took a few days. And we didn't have to go there for that again. They learned quickly. I'll be honest with you, there was a time or two I took their punishment for them. I don't know if they'll ever remember that or not. And I taught them mercy. I taught them about what Jesus did for us. How he took our punishment. And I did it. I know I did it with Jason. I'm sure I did it with Lindsay too. Because he needed a royal thrashing. And we had an apparatus that somebody created. It was the greatest creation on the face of the earth. They just called it the rod. It was a little just nylon rod about that long. Had a little rubber tip on the end of it so it wouldn't cut or do anything. Had a nice grip for your hand. But you didn't have to even wail it. You just smack it. I mean, there was a time or two I did wail it. And then there was a time or two I wailed it on the calf of my leg when it should have been their bottom. What was I doing? I was teaching them about repentance. I was teaching them about the just reward of disobedience and how that Christ took that for us. See, he's provided the way. You know, if we'll confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive our sins. To confess my sins means I'm repenting of them, which means I'm not doing them anymore. I'm renewing my mind that I'm not going to do that way anymore. And that's what discipline's all about. It's renewing their mind. I'm not doing it that way anymore. This is the right way to do it. I'm going to start doing it the right way. You know, trust me, after 1,000 times, they're going to get tired of that and they're going to change their mind. Woo! We used to might say, well, Mom, that's a lot. Well, it is. It is. But if that's what it takes to save a soul, I'm serious as I can be. Serious as it is Sunday afternoon now. Praise God. Let's move on. So here we see Jesus. He's preaching repentance. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. What's Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost? Repentance. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Repentance. Change your mind about who Jesus is. Believe what we have just told you. That's what he's telling. Repent and be baptized. What is that? That means that is that physical evidence. Bringing those works of righteousness. So that's what they need to do. They got baptized and then they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But it started with repent. Change your mind. Acts 17 and 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The power of the resurrection is assigned to you and I that he will be the judge. And we will be judged according to righteous judgment. Jesus Christ is not going to judge anybody outside what he has revealed. He's not going to judge you for something, come on now, that he didn't show you in his word of how to do it right. Oh, wow. I don't have near enough time to talk all about righteousness, but we will get to it sooner or later if the Lord tarries. Not today. Praise God. We're talking about repentance today, and God commandeth all men everywhere now to repent. So you remember what I just said just moments ago, every church service is a time of repentance. Every church service is a time of renewing our mind. If our mind has gotten a little pulled away by the world, Well, it's time to renew our mind and get back to standing for the right ways of God. I mean, it's just, that's what church is all about. It's about you and I coming face to face with God Almighty through the power of the Holy Ghost and the quickening of His Word, so we can keep our minds thinking the right ways and thus our lives living the right ways. Hallelujah. And so we see then relief or righteousness, and we're going to get to that here in just a minute. I'm dealing with, just really wanted to lay the foundation here that repentance is what God always calls men to. Always calls men and women to change their mind to His. Let this mind be in you. That mind of Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of Himself no reputation, but was a servant. You want to be great? Learn how to serve without recognition. When you've done all you're supposed to do, consider yourself an unprofitable servant. You've just done what was expected of you to do. Whoa. So that's righteousness right there. See, that goes against the grain of the old carnal mind, the old carnal life and the ways of the world. But see, that's just giving you a little insight into how I must continually renew my mind so that I can maintain that servant's heart. I'm thinking about starting that series again. How many remember we preached on Serious Servants Institute? How many got all of that down, changed your life completely, and now you're living exactly that way? So I'm thinking about doing that again, because that's been over a year ago. Believe it or not that we did that. And it's so vital, important for victorious Christian living. I must maintain a servant's heart. I have to. I must. It's not an option. Not at all. Not if I want to be used by God. I can't. Oh, help me, Jesus. Praise God. And so we see then repentance. Peter preached it. I mean, they talked about it again in Acts 17. Acts 26, Paul talks about it. But showed first unto them in Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, then the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. In other words, you got to realize repentance leads to righteousness. Oh, wow, praise God. So, Matthew 5 and 6, just one of those little beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. When you pray, make sure you're ready for God to reveal righteousness unto you. Because that's how your prayers are going to get answered, is when you hear what He's got to say. Hallelujah. Make adjustments in your mind and your ways, and then He will make adjustments in His answers. Praise God. Hallelujah. And here's what I'm after right here. We're living in an hour. We're living in a society that they don't want righteousness. They just want relief. They're tired of the way their life is treating them. They're tired of their circumstances. They just want God to change my circumstance. We saw it so much when we ministered in Craig County Detention Center. Pray for me that I'll get out of here. We'll pray for you that you'll get saved. Then when you get out, your life will be changed. But the majority of the prayer requests at Craig County Detention Center was, help me get out of here. I want out of here. I want out of here. I want out of here. Every now and then there were some that would say, you know, I've got lost loved ones that need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Oh, yeah. Somebody found righteousness there. All the rest of them was just looking for relief. They were just looking for a change in the circumstance, a change in the situation. But they weren't looking for repentance nor righteousness in their lives. Here we find it in the Bible, just one example of it. It's not the only example of it, but it's the one I want to share with us this morning. In Matthew chapter 27, verse number 44, it says, the thieves also, which were crucified with Him, cast the same in His teeth. You may not understand, you know, what that means, cast the same in His teeth. In other words, how many remember there were two thieves, two malefactors, two murderers that were crucified that day too. One was on the right, one was on the left, and Jesus was in the middle. And when it all started out, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders came about and they mocked him. The soldiers mocked him. And even these two thieves hanging on the cross were mocking him and making fun of him and just really not paying attention to who he was and what was going on. So remember right here, remember both of them were doing it. Both of them were casting the same in his teeth. In other words, both of them were mocking him, railing him. And so then in Luke, we see something transpired. Something happened. And Luke gives us the account of these two thieves and these two malefactors. And so Luke 23 and 39, it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and save us.'" He was wanting relief. Hey, if you're the Christ, come down off that cross and get me down off here too, because this is not where I want to be. This is not what I want going on in my life. And so if you are Christ, then, hey, change my circumstance. Change my situation. He was just looking for relief. But the other, remember, both of them were doing it to start with. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" What do we got going on here? Repentance. He has changed his mind. He has repented of his railings. He has repented of his mockings, and he is now realizing who this man is. He has repentance going on right here. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." Now he's talking righteousness. He is being accountable for his deeds. He is being accountable for his actions. He realizes his deeds, his actions were wrong, and this is the recompense and the just reward for it. That means righteousness has come into this man's mind. Because basically, if he did get to come down off that cross and didn't die that day, his life would be changed forever. Because he would now be living a life of righteousness because he just confessed his sins. Hallelujah. He just confessed of what he used to be. And what he was confessing is that I'm not going to be that anymore. I am now going to serve you. So what's he go on to say? And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." What was he saying? That was a profession of faith. I'm serving you whether I get off this cross or not. And no matter how hard it is, I'm going to follow your righteousness. I'm going to follow your kingdom. I'm going to follow you. Then glory to God, here's what he got. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And you see what repentance will bring. Repentance brings righteousness. And righteousness brings audience with the King. Woo, hallelujah. We're not going to be with Jesus in paradise today, but we can have audience with him. Hallelujah. We can have access past the veil. I believe the true report. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Past the outer veil. Hallelujah. Oh my, moving into the presence of the King. That's what was going on right here for this thief on the cross that day. He repented of his sins, confessed his sins, started acting in righteousness, and he entered right into the paradise of God that day when he died. Hallelujah. And so now this is what I'm after. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we've got to understand. There are multitudes out there that all they're after is relief, but what they need is repentance and righteousness. And so we've got to understand our prayers need to be pointed in that direction. Our dealing with souls need to be pointed in that direction, because it's not, we got to let them know your circumstances may never change, but your heart can, your life can. Hallelujah. As you begin to give control to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your life will begin to change. Thus, when your life begins to change, your circumstances will ultimately begin to change too. I can remember when I got saved, circumstances around me started changing. because I started changing. And then those circumstances, a lot of those circumstances disappeared. You know, we always try to help people, encourage people. You know, once you get saved, you can't run with the wrong crowd. You got to start making friends with children of God and run with the children of God, so to speak. We've all been called to run the race that is set before us. And if you want to run that race, then you need to be running it with like believers, people that have changed minds, people that know what repentance is all about. Hallelujah. People that know what it is to hear from God and walk with God and rejoice in God. Hallelujah. And so we encourage people. I mean, if you, you know, when you get saved, this is the shift you've got to make, because if you don't, there's going to be a possibility that they will drag you back. In our lives, it wasn't that way, because when we got saved, we loved God so much, we just started talking about Jesus everywhere we went and what God was doing, and we started talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and we had some nice, really wonderful Baptist friends, and for some reason, they quit calling. Some reason, we quit fellowshipping. Some reason, it just kind of faded away. And so we made friends with fellow believers. So here's the antidote to not getting pulled away. Start talking about your Jesus. Start talking about the goodness and the righteousness of God. Start talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost and the joy unspeakable and full of glory. You start talking about the holiness of God, the righteousness of God. You start standing for God. Those old friends are going to run away. Hallelujah. And then your goal then will be to try to keep catching up. No, come on. I want to talk some more. Hallelujah. I want to tell you more about Jesus. Come go to church with me. Hallelujah. You see, that's for your benefit. I mean, you know, sometimes that you may not win them, but hey, if you can get them in the house of God, they're going to have a greater opportunity of surrender to God. Doesn't mean they will, because they will have to repent. I've seen multitudes come into the house of God, but they just never could get repentance on their minds. And just as soon as they came in, it wasn't very long, they went back out because they were not interested in righteousness. God's interested in righteousness. He's not just interested in getting people born again. He's interested in that also. That's where some denominations kind of miss it. They think, okay, if I can get you born again, you got it made, it's done. I'm sorry. You're not done until it's done. It's not over till it's over. You're not done fighting against sin until you're walking those streets of gold. Until then, you are fighting the fight of faith. Until then, you're running a race. Until then, you are striving for repentance, continual renewing of the mind. You are striving for righteousness and walking in the light of the Lord, walking in the light of His Word. Hallelujah. God is very, very serious about His righteousness and His holiness, whereby He has given us exceedingly great promises that we can walk therein. Don't forget that. Because if you're not careful, the enemy will sway you and think it's not important to live right. You ain't going to find that in the Bible. You find it all the way in the book of Revelation to the seven churches. Jesus is telling them, you need to repent. You've lost your first love. You're not living right. You're not doing right. You're following after the wrong spirits. Oh, go read those first three chapters of the book of Revelation and how Jesus is dealing with the church. And He's calling them to repentance. It's back to what I said. Every church service you're going to be in, there's going to be a call to repentance. That call to repentance then is going to turn into renewing my mind. And then when my mind is renewed and obedience begins to roll in my soul, so does the Holy Ghost. And so does the joy. So does the peace. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I don't know about you. Just to give you a little insight, I'm closing. How many, and don't raise your hand, but how many times have you left a powerful service where the Spirit of God has moved and you've rejoiced in God and God has touched you and you know God is real, and you get out the front door and before you get home there is something that is provoking you to a bad attitude. Or you... do the exact opposite thing that the Holy Ghost told you while you were in His presence. A lot of people don't understand that, because they don't fully understand the moving of God and what it is to serve God. Just because God moves on you, blesses you, strengthens you, and encourages you, does not mean God is done with you. Because what He does in here, and this is why we push, we press, be in God's house. Because what He does in here is to equip you to live it out there at home, out there on the job, out there at the store, hallelujah, out there when the enemy begins to bombard your mind with the wrong thoughts and the wrong ways. In here is where the new ways God's brought your way, and now there is a warfare, hallelujah, and you can be on the winning side when you choose righteousness. It's a choice. You choose what you're going to do when the situation arises. You choose what you're going to do when the circumstances don't change. I take you through the scripture I have. I've preached it. I've taught it. How many realize if you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive? Anybody ever thought about that? Because we fall into this prey of easy believism. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. And then we turn right around and do the same thing. No, we didn't repent and we didn't confess our sin, because if we really thought it was sin, why would anyone want to do it? So what? We're just looking for relief sometimes. Relief, but not change. Not righteousness. Not the power of God flowing in my life. I'm just wishing my circumstances would change. Every one of us has been there. It's called part of life. It's called Christian growth. Hallelujah. And God is all about growing His Christians. He's not about numbers. Sorry. He is not about numbers. The angels of heaven rejoice every time somebody repents and comes to Christ. But God's not about numbers. He's about growth. He's not about number growth. He's about spiritual growth. Hallelujah. And the more we grow spiritually as the children of God in the house of God, the more we will be able to help others really want righteousness instead of relief. Because they will see the righteousness in our lives and the change in our lives and the walk with God in our lives and how we take everything to God. Hallelujah. Let God direct our paths and God direct our decisions and God have His way with us. And we're always talking about the goodness of God and how God showed me this and how God showed me that. And hallelujah, you're talking about the righteousness of God. You start talking about the holiness of God, and they're either going to leave you high and dry, or they're going to say, I've been looking for that all my life. Well, that's how it was with me. I mean, when Jesus Christ saved my soul, I realized immediately, this is what I have been looking for all my life. Hallelujah. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He began to reveal His word unto me and began to change my life. This is what I've been looking for all my life. This is what I'm looking for in my life right now. I have decided to follow Jesus. And that decision was made this morning when I got out of bed. Hallelujah. I have decided to follow. I'm not talking about 40 years ago. I'm talking about today, January 21st. Hallelujah. Long about 6. I didn't really wake up. I got up at 6, but I didn't wake up till 7. And so I'm talking about from 7 this morning. Hallelujah. I have decided to follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know what my first step in following Jesus was? Get to the house of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hallelujah. That was not even an option. Hallelujah. After I got saved, you could not keep me from the house of God. That's where I got saved. Hallelujah. That's where I learned the Word of God. That's where I learned the righteousness of God. That's where I learned about God more and more and more. Hallelujah. And God would touch me every time I was in the house of God. He touched me other places too. But I realized real fast, hey, that's the place to be. If you want to be all you can be for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if you want to run the race with patience, you've got to be in the house of God. I realize sometimes sickness keeps it from us, keeps us from it. But oh my, there is always a longing. I mean, there was, I can't remember when it was, but I do remember. It was a Thursday night and a Sunday. And, oh wow, I could not wait to get back to the house of God. It wasn't just to preach, although I don't even think we preached that morning. Praise God. It was because I wanted to be in God's presence. I wanted to see what God was doing. I wanted to experience what God was doing. And I wanted to repent. Oh, remember that word? Compunction? What we call it nowadays is conviction. Oh, I used to do it all the time, Brother Curtis. Oh, I was just young in the Lord. Didn't know any better. I know. It's 12:30. Praise God. My wife was doing the watching. Praise God. I know what time it is. They all think I never know what time it is. I always know what time it is. Hallelujah. When it's done, it will be done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody stand to your feet. I didn't say I was done. Praise God. I just said stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'd stand up during testimony service, and the first words out of my mouth, I thank God for conviction. And you could hear a pin drop in the sanctuary. Because there was a multitude of them in there that they didn't want any more conviction. They didn't want to grow anymore. Then I became Sunday school teacher. And I had a group of people who asked the same question every Sunday in Sunday school. And that question always pertained to righteousness, about how you're supposed to dress, what kind of clothes you're supposed to wear. And so I would give them the discourse of exactly what the Bible said about it. And they must have fell asleep while I gave them the answer. Because next Sunday morning they'd ask the same question. So I know it in and out now. And they finally, I'm sorry, you're gonna hate me and think I'm mean. They'd raise their hand, and I'd just keep teaching. It wasn't open for discussion anymore, Brother Curtis, because it hadn't been answered more than 3 times. And if you can't get it in 3 times, you're never going to get it, because you don't want it. Oh, man. Yeah. I've actually had an individual tell me, Brother Pepper, we know you preach the truth. We know you live the truth. We know that you walk it. We know that it's right. I looked at her and I said, "Tell me, what's the problem? I don't want it." Okay. See ya. If you don't want God, I can't help you. If you don't want righteousness, I can't help you. If you don't want to renew your mind and believe God's ways, I can't help you. But if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I can help you. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We thank you for the moving of your Spirit, your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for your word and your truths. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, use this message, use these words to encourage a heart, encourage a soul, touch somebody's life. Lord, right here in the sanctuary via Facebook, Lord, we don't want relief, God. We want repentance. We want righteousness. Hallelujah. We want the change that you died for. We want the transformation you died for. We want the power you died for. Hallelujah. We want everything that you have died for, Lord, to be strong and courageous and walking with you and knowing you and Lord, being like you, to have your mind be our mind. Oh God, I pray, strengthen these believers, strengthen these children, strengthen these teenagers. Hallelujah. Lord, as we strive to walk with you, to know you and be just like you, God.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to the King. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to close this service this morning. If you want more of Jesus, I encourage you to come back tonight. Hallelujah. Because he's been readily available all service long here this morning.